He had a tendency to take it out on me on the days he had it rough. But on the other ones, Lord, it wasn't much, but to me it was enough. We'd go fish.
Hey, we're Muscadine Bloodline.
We're hanging out with Donald on Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
Strong word.
I offered an adult beverage. Right?
That's all I did.
But anyway, God, let's get started. Hey guys, it's Nashville. It's Collecting Dust. Thanks for tuning in. Hanging out with, I'm really excited about this, honestly, because it worked out so perfectly that I found John. I was like, oh my gosh, they're really good. For two reasons. For one, you're Alabama boys, so I automatically feel a connection to y'all, and we might be somewhat not the same generation, but very close.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Very close.
Close enough.
At least, you know. And but then our friend and kind of working partner PR firm Caitlin over here is like, hey, Kent, would love to get, and I'm like, yes,
yeah, absolutely,
just saw them, and so it just worked out well. So thanks for coming on. I'm with Muscadine Bloodline. How are you?
What's
we're
up,
great,
dude?
Man, we're great. Thanks, man, thank you for having us.
You're welcome. And I think I say it right because I'm from Alabama.
You say it perfectly right.
Right. And I know what muscadines
You'd
are.
Be surprised how many people would get it wrong.
I know.
And so is it bad that my natural instinct is like, can someone explain?
Yeah,
well, right. From the north.
Yeah, all right, it's a grape. All right, to them, you just it's a grape.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah,
but not like the ones you go get at Kroger.
Right.
I mean, it's a thicker skinned grape that has this, oh my gosh, glorious chewy, literally gummy inside. Typically with seeds.
Seeds, yeah.
But it's phenomenal. I mean, you can chew on one grape.
You pop the whole thing in your
minutes.
Mouth. Yeah, you like pop the whole thing in, and then you kind of like chew the seeds out and like spit the seeds out.
And you don't eat the skin
seeds,
either.
Yeah, you know, you don't eat the
skin. You don't eat the skin.
It's just like the juicy inside. Yeah. It's good. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that had any relation to like how y'all are as a relationship.
Mushy gushy, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
but well, cool. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for hanging out.
Oh, no problem.
Thanks for putting up with us. We've had a big day today. We've recorded some amazing talent, and we wanted this. This is the first time we've done it in the afternoon. So in our defense, it's happy hour for us. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, that's all right.
So up at 5 this morning, we've worked all day. We've done well. Super sick. This is super sick, Kevin McCarty, by the way, and.
Well, I think that here's what happened.
Glad I know that now after I shake his hand.
Yeah, well, you know. But here's the thing. But that is all done by her, Miss Leslie.
So you're not sick. Yeah. It's just a nickname then. Yeah.
Well, it's just, it's a common phrase.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super sick.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think next time, because I will legally bind you to coming back. And that'll happen later. We'll give more information about what's going to happen.
Kevin's also my legal counsel.
Gotcha.
But he did take
your non-legal
almost
legal.
almost an hour worth of one class in law in college.
Yeah.
So we count that.
That's perfectly
pretty much a lawyer at this point.
Pretty much. Non-legal.
Well, that's your band name. What's your real names?
My name is Charlie Muncaster.
Yes, and then we have...
And Gary Stanton.
Gary. Now, did you guys grow up together?
Same town, but we actually didn't meet until we both left, which is kind of weird.
We were never friends until college.
Never even knew of each other.
Well, we knew of each other.
Yeah, and it was kind of weird. Like, we had, like, this ungodly amount of, like, mutual friends.
Yep.
Like we were, scary.
And, then, like, we were probably at the same parties and, like, just didn't see each other. And, like, it was weird. But, like, I knew Charlie, like... Back in the day, we were just both posting, you know, videos on Facebook as 15 and 16 year old kids, and like he was the only other person in Mobile.
You just know like people that are like trying. It's kind of obvious, like in the scene of like where you're from, you know, like the 5 or 6 people.
Yeah,
you know,
especially Mobile. I mean,
and y'all both went to Auburn.
No,
where did you go to school?
I went to Auburn, and he went to Southern Miss. Mm-hmm.
And what? So how did that connection finally go? Hey, we should get together and play.
Well, yeah, just give him the rundown.
Okay. Well, okay, so. We both went to different high schools in Mobile, and we lived 5 minutes from each other, which, you know, that's also weird. But so I went off to Auburn. He went to Southern Miss, and I went up there and went to school for a little while and partied most of the time. But I started my own band up there when I was 19, and we started playing, like, some, like, you know, some little tiny shows, like, here and there. And we had one coming up in Mobile, and it was, like, the first big, like, full band show I'd ever had, and I was just asking around because the venue owner was like, get local support because it'll help you sell tickets, you know, because
right.
I wasn't worth 5 tickets in Mobile. And so you know, people were like, hey,
get, he was worth 10.
At least 10.
Maybe 11. My mom and family came. So
that's true. All right, good.
So that people were like, Gary Stanton, you know, and then that, like, I think I literally hit him up on Facebook and I was like, hey, come do this. And he was like, I was like, I literally even told him, I was like, I can't pay you. Like, we're not getting paid.
Yeah.
So, like, I just come hang. Like,
the last time I went on a date, it was very similar.
Yeah.
Found on Facebook.
Can't like, pay for this.
But, you know.
Yeah. They showed. She showed, though. You know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it wasn't a catfish situation.
Yeah, so that's the first time we ever met. And we just, like, hung out a little briefly that night. We really didn't even get to chill that much. But then afterwards, you know, we, you know, were then closer here and there, got each other's number, and then just stayed in touch. Didn't really, it was a couple years actually before we like got back up.
Yeah, it was kind of like Charlie always did, he did that show. I guess I was going into my freshman year of college. So I hadn't even, Charlie's a year older than I am. And so I guess it was in his freshman year, like after your first semester or whatever. And so I was still in high school. And yeah, so I did the show with him, and then I went to Southern Miss after that, and he did that show for like 3 years, I want to say, like every Christmas, because everyone would come to town from Auburn, Alabama, wherever college there, come back home for the holidays.
Yeah, come home, yeah.
And so
we still do that show, by the way.
Yeah, we do. We do it every Christmas. So it's pretty cool, and to see it grow has been kind of cool. But anyway, so we just did that for a few years, and we just kind of kept up with each other via, like, you know, Facebook and stuff, seeing how things were. And then
Gary starts writing songs in his dorm room.
Yeah.
And, like, this was before, like, when we first met, it was, like, we both had, like, written songs. Yeah. You know, Gary's always been a way better songwriter than me. But, he started, like, popping out these songs on Facebook. And I'm talking about, like, every day. Like, just, like, he's a songwriter. Like, it was every day. And I was like, this dude is just, like,
a beast
at songwriting, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I hit him up one day and I was like, hey, come up here to Auburn and let's write.
That's all. And wait, real quick. Is Supper Club still there?
No.
Dude, it closed down. Yeah. They tore it down after New Year's this year, wasn't it?
No, it was last year.
Yeah, I feel like,
yeah.
Kevin, you don't know this, but I feel like we just need like a moment of silence.
Yeah,
you don't understand. Like the Supper Club was.
Well, you know what's funny is I did party at the Supper Club a few times, but it wasn't like in its prime.
Well, I don't know if it's been in its prime in 100 years.
Yeah.
But that was the whole point.
You still walk out at daylight, regardless.
There, right. Yeah. That was the Supper Club.
So. Yeah, it's
the Supper Club?
The Supper Club. Yeah.
It was also probably the only place at Auburn that, unless you were 21, you weren't getting.
Well, and it didn't close. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, like, that was the greatest thing about it. Because, like, if the party wasn't stopping at 2:30,
that's right. I have a fake ID. Sorry.
No.
You can get away with that. Other places, not Supper Club.
It was still just as strict as that until the last day.
That's right.
They did not play around with that.
Good times. You and I. We didn't cross paths physically, but we were on the same stomping grounds.
We stomped and literally walked the same.
My dad still had his Supper Club membership card because my parents went to Auburn.
You know what? I think I have mine in my wallet.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah, as soon as I got, I think I probably jinxed it. As soon as I got it, it was like, hey, we're closing down. But now it's like,
get out of my house.
I know. It's weird, like, pulling into Auburn now. You know, and it's just an empty lot because they took the building down. And
so they didn't give a reason why.
Well, they actually did. Is like they were leasing it,
the
land or whatever the building.
Sure.
And I'm pretty sure like that whoever owned it wanted to make like something bigger or whatever, and then they jacked up the rent.
Yeah, that's how it works.
The owners kind of had no choice. The current owners choice but to like they had to back out.
I'm a dog.
Yeah.
RIP. All right, so that's
rest in peace.
That story in itself is a love story. It had tragic, it had all kinds of uncertainty. It was awesome.
Just torn over here.
So after college, you guys are now up here. I mean, when did y'all tie the knot? You know,
it was kind of funny. Like once I started kind of like writing a lot, I started like my own group with intentions of being an actual like original act. We were starting to play, you know, different bars in, you know, South Mississippi, venturing a little bit into Louisiana, that kind of stuff. And then realized quickly that, wow, these frat gigs, I can play one of these a month and really pay some bills off. So it slowly transgressed into like, okay, now we're just a cover band.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is, we're making our money, but still we were getting hired and I was paying my rent as a college student.
That's like the beautiful yeah. like disaster of it too. It's like you can make a lot of money being in the cover band, but it's like there's really no future. Like,
yeah,
Super Sick McCarty.
Yeah,
guitar
that was,
player.
That was my college life.
Yeah. Hey, that was too. No, that's how I paid up.
You guys
bills.
Know you learn six chords.
Oh, absolutely.
You can just play.
I still only know those chords, and we still do okay. Yeah. So.
You're like, can you play little? You know, Jack and Diane. Yeah, sure. Any of those, and you're like, yeah, do you know the basic chords? Then you're fine.
Of course.
Yeah. What was it? You were like, usually within a couple of hours, I'm not sure if I was even hitting those chords, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like,
well, the drinks were free.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And you don't start till 11, soundcheck at 8, and then you're like,
well, this guy's like describing Auburn right now.
That's
right. So
that's awesome. Bourbon Street. Yeah, absolutely.
I get it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so there was no, like, you know, you never had to worry about, oh, these people didn't like these songs. It's like, you know, you didn't have to worry about any of those kind of situations when you're playing, you know, the hits and
you
stuff
play
like that.
In there,
so,
too.
But yeah, so that kind of happened, nice. And you know, we started doing that, and then you know, Charlie was while he was doing that, he's playing a lot in Georgia and Alabama, and he had like these probably 6 to 10 gigs that he was doing regularly and stuff like that, and so I wanted to get you know involved with those, and I had some
it
gigs.
Weren't bad money, like,
yeah. Yeah, and so, I mean, that's how he's paying his bills. And so he was doing that, and he's like, hey, you know, y'all, you want to, like, open for each other and do some cool things like that. And so we just, with that, we kind of grew a little closer. And then and once I, you know, started writing a lot, Charlie's like, I want to put out an EP because, like, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm doing all these gigs and not really have a product to push besides my name. And so he.
And I'd never even, like, co-written with anybody.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Really?
Until I really started like learning more about the Nashville thing. And,
yeah.
Like, kind of like flirting with the idea of maybe, hey, maybe I want to do that, you know. And I had a couple of songs that I thought were good at the time. They were trash. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, hey, let me get this guy that's pretty good at songwriting come up here and like help me out, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what co-writing is. Everybody's just in the room like helping each other get to a good
I can't tell you how many stories we've heard. I mean, even just earlier with Logan, he was like, my first songs were horrible. Like, I thought they were great.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So, like, he was literally telling us that story this morning.
Well, even songs you write like a month ago, now you're writing like so much, you're like, oh, I thought that was good, but I just wrote a song that was 10 times better.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's amazing.
It's crazy how it goes. But yeah, so we went up there, and that was the first time we ever written. And the song we actually wrote was the last song off our debut EP, which was Jenny. And so,
and Gary's allergic to dogs too. And we have two dogs. We had two dogs in Auburn.
Yeah.
So he came up and like powered through it.
Hey, sacrifice.
He didn't even tell me either. Like, he just powered through it. Like, you know, just like, a nice guy, Gary. Yeah. Just powered through it.
Yeah.
Slept on the couch where the dog slept and everything.
Yeah. I mean, that just shows the character. He was willing to die for you. And I didn't even tell you why.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that yet. But I just thought he was just sleeping on the couch. Like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
He's like seasoned up over there.
Yeah. And so, like,
I'm going to be honest. If you're allergic to dogs, you're allergic to Auburn.
Yeah.
And not his house.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a farm cattle college town, so
yeah.
Wow.
No wonder I was always getting sick up there.
It's
it's probably the drinking for real. But
that was it.
But no, so that night Charlie just had a gig, and so we went up there, and we, you know, he's like, hey, you want to play with me? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? You know?
Sure.
And then we realized that we could do the harmony thing really well. And
so, y'all can.
People were like, y'all don't suck at that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Y'all should
so
probably
we were just
do kinda
that. Like, this is cool. You know, we kind of did that for a little bit, and then I think there was, like, another couple weekends where I started hitting up, you know, Charlie, and he's like, hey, I'm playing in Mobile. That's close to Hattiesburg. You want to, you know, come down and play with me or whatever? And so we started doing that more often while we were doing our own thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had the idea of – I knew I was moving to Nashville as soon as I graduated, and so I just didn't know – you know, what I was going to do or whatever. I just knew I wanted to do something in music. And so I just moved on up here. And, but within that time, you know, Charlie and I started playing together more and more towards my end of my senior year. And then, you know, we kind of flirted with the idea. I was like, hey man, like, we've been playing a lot together. Like, what if we like did a duo thing?
Yeah.
And, you know, people seem to like it.
I couldn't help but laugh, guys, because this is how, especially guys probably in Alabama, it might be everywhere. I don't know. I just grew up in Alabama. But it was like, when y'all got up there and did it, this is the compliment that guys give each other in the South. I mean, y'all don't suck.
Yeah.
It's either
that is like when you know we're pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
It's either like, man, y'all are badass, or yeah, y'all don't suck.
I mean, y'all don't suck.
Y'all all right.
You know, so you're like, hey, maybe we should do this.
Perfect.
Yeah, right. so we just kind of, you know, I knew I was coming up here regardless, and so that kind of just, once I moved up here in May, I guess, of 2015, and then, you know, Charlie and I, for about probably about 3 months or probably 4 months, every weekend we were playing together. Like, I was meeting him wherever he was, mm-hmm. driving down, and somehow, like, we coordinated it pretty smoothly.
Well, you'd, like, come home. Like, I mean, all the gigs were in Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah.
But, like, he'd come home for a couple of weeks, you know. Mm-hmm. You'd stay. Because he didn't have a job up here or anything. So he was just like, hey, whatever. Like, we're making money. Like, I'll just meet you there.
Yeah.
And we would meet in Mobile and drive his truck or drive my Jeep and just – make it work. It worked out perfectly.
Yeah, we were kind of, because most of our gigs were like, you know, north-ish of, you know, Mobile, and you can't go south of Mobile because it's on the water.
And even north of Montgomery, too.
So Charlie moved back to Mobile from Auburn for a little bit. So, like you said, we were just like connecting the dots. Like, I'd come down. I had a girlfriend, too, that was living in Mobile at the time because I was from there, too. And so it just kind of worked. I got to kill three birds with one stone, play with Charlie, see the girlfriend, see the family. So it just kind of worked. And so, but yeah, we would just kind of make our way down from Nashville, stay there for a week, then go back up, do it again, then work our way back up to Nashville, ride a little bit. And we did that for like 4 months. And then
so you're making money, right?
Yeah, this is fun. We
don't suck.
Yeah, right? We're paying our bills. So, you know, as that was going, we weren't really writing much, but it was just more of the, you know, we were learning how to play together and getting just that more chemistry, like on stage and everything, kind of defining our roles that, you know, weren't stuff we were saying to each other, but it was just kind of like, okay, this is what you're doing on stage, this is my job on stage, kind of deal. So it kind of, you know.
Well, even that, and like roles as far as like even whatever little tiny business we had, you know, and like little, we were even promoting shows as like Charlie and Gary.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have a name yet, so we were just like, Charlie and Gary, like, hey, come see it. I mean,
I kind of feel like I'm in marriage counseling right now. I'm getting a lot of great advice right now. I mean, just as a relationship in general.
Oh, just wait, we haven't got to the advice yet.
Okay.
Just wait a second.
Yeah. Right. Sorry. Got a little bit.
But yeah, man, so we just like, you know, kept doing it. Then Charlie moved up in October of that year. And, you know, it was kind of on a wild hair because he was like, I think I'm going to wait till the, you know, next year, you know, make sure I got my guap where I need it and that kind of stuff. And then he was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm coming up. And I was like,
we're going to make more money together than we would like, with that, you know. So I was like, whatever.
Yeah, let's do it. So he moved up. And then literally we like picked 3 songs that I'd previously written.
The day after, we went
in the studio the next week, cut 3 songs without a name or anything like that. And, you know, we worked kind of backwards. We got, like, worked on the music in the studio kind of stuff, and then we, like, worked on the brand. So as soon as we were wanting to, like, release the brand, we had music coming right after it. Because a lot of times people would be like, hey, we're starting a band, and then they don't really do anything with it and kind of, you know. So
anybody can start a band, you know what I mean?
Like, so we just wanted to make
technically, Kevin and I could start a band.
Yeah, right, technically. Yeah. As long as somebody can strum 6 chords.
what's it called?
Super Sick. That's what it's called.
Rolling the Super Sick.
No, that's the title of the first album.
For sure.
So I guess our band name, that's a wonderful impromptu question. It should be like ketchup sauce.
That's first song. Dude,
first song. Band, bro. I'm not kidding. First song. Put a little ketchup on it.
Yeah. Dude, you guys should go with that.
It could just be all about condiments.
Like, why are y'all even doing this?
Seriously, we have definitely missed our calling.
Up next, ketchup sauce.
Yeah, I'm in.
So stupid.
Everybody is.
I apologize.
Yeah, all right, so great story. I'm sorry, I apologize. But, like, so when was, like, you've gotten recognition as far as, like, not sucking, right? Mm-hmm. I get that. But, like,
from, like, friends, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I hear, right, from a musician standpoint, that you can be great where you're from. Most people that move to Nashville are the best from where they are from.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely.
Then you move to Nashville, and you're like,
this is not where I'm from. Yeah,
right.
It's true.
So talk to me about like that and going, was it that overwhelming, or was it just like, okay, it's time to...
Man, I'll tell you what. When we moved up here, like, we really didn't even set aside time to, like, even hang out. I mean, we worked... I'm not saying that we're the hardest working people in the industry, but I'm saying like we as Muscadine Bloodline before we were Muscadine Bloodline, all we did was what we do. Like, yeah, right. And we didn't come up here to like make friends, you know, like we came up here cause you got to be here.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so like, I don't know. We've been up here working hard and it's just,
yeah, we have a manager, who like, he works at a very high pace level.
That's a weird story too.
That's crazy. But anyway, so our manager, like, it's great to have, but a lot of times we don't take a break because it's like, hey, we just did this.
We live with him.
So it's like high five. Okay, now we need to do this.
I mean, I don't
so,
need to like call like child services on him or
anything. No, he's a great dude. We love him to death. So like, but we just, you know, working as, you know, two guys at 100%, you could work at a, I mean, at 100%, you could work at a 200% pace.
Yeah.
And so that's really what really helped is Charlie's good at a lot of stuff I'm not good at and vice versa.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So it's just like, I mean, from every part of whether it's the show, personalities, what we can or can't
social
do.
Social media.
Yeah,
whatever.
All this stuff. Yeah. So it's just kind of fits like a puzzle. So
that's awesome.
It's just kind of
cool. You're literally splitting the work. Like,
yeah.
A guy that's doing it by themselves, which we did for a while. We thought we knew what we were doing. We didn't have a clue. But, you know, it like, if I would have come up here and I knew what I knew now and I had to do what we do now by myself, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. Because it's a lot. Like we're a lot of times we find ourselves like sitting here like, golly, we got a ton on our plate. But then we like look as like, dude, we're working like 50%. Like
you're doing half of it. And I'm
like,
doing half of it.
And like, we're still like stressed out. Like, I can't imagine. Yeah. So, but we just, you know, knew to do this and, you know, make a presence. And number one, it's all about perceptions and stuff in Nashville. So, like, we were making flyers. You know, it might have been the same places we were going to every weekend. But it's like, oh, man, these guys are in four different states independently. Yeah.
Well, we were touring every single week, which I feel like there's a lot to be said about that. Just because, like you said, everybody can have a band. But if we were going out there and like making it happen, you know, whether it was good or at the time or not, we were touring every single weekend, which we still are doing every weekend.
We've lived here for over a year and a half, and I've spent two Saturdays in Nashville.
Wow.
Never a complete weekend.
Yeah, never a complete weekend. It's never
happened. So there's a good segue
into
the next segment.
Yeah.
If you want to tee it up for me.
Well, making it happen is my, like, that's my platform. It's and because what you're saying is, like, at the end of the day, you hit on, I want to regurgitate some of this because y'all just said a lot. And there's a lot of value in what you said. You're saying it because you're used to saying it, it's your story.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what I'm hearing, though. Because a lot of people do move, and especially in entertainment, don't get me wrong, they want to be successful, but it's more of the glory side of it, right? Mm-hmm. Not the, I mean, not that you're probably not friendly people, but you're like, we're not here to make friends.
Yeah.
You know, you move to Nashville.
And I say that loosely too, but it's like, we've made some of the best friends we've ever made up here. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like like-minded people.
Absolutely.
You know, people that are better than you.
But I thought that was a profound statement because we always say it's about relationships. And I think with the genuine sincerity of how serious you are about your career is why you make the genuine friendships, mm-hmm. right?
Sure, yeah.
It's that difference, though, where there's people up here and everywhere, I should say, that may unintentionally be more about a popularity contest.
It is.
Yeah, nothing happens in every. Yeah. Everything.
All right. So, but I at least wanted to point that out. It's like because you weren't playing around, you were able to make genuine friends.
Yeah,
sure. Right. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so, we still have artist friends and writer friends that we'll never get in the room with to write or do anything with besides be friends. Because if you don't have that in Nashville, like, it's just a redundant, just an abysmal hole that you're going into. Because as soon as you want to have a break or anything, okay, now you're talking to someone else you haven't seen in a while about music and what are you up to.
Hey, I've always said like, it's why I have the relationships I do in music.
Yeah.
Because I'm not in music.
Yeah, no.
I'm literally the guy that goes, oh, you don't want to? You want to go have a beer? I'm
like, having buddies that don't do music is huge.
Like,
It's
like, hey, you want to talk about music? Me neither. So let's go.
Yeah.
You're going to be here.
But that's a true statement. So, that's awesome.
So there's the other part, though. The year and a half on the road, the other question you always like to ask with the segment of Nashville, we have a problem.
Yeah, it's because there's always... Well, and because I was going to say that really what it sounds like is when you two get on a stage and sing, that's the easy part.
That's the funnest part.
That's the most fun part.
That's
of the
what
job.
I mean. I know y'all hit on that. It was like y'all got up and you're like, "Hey, we kind of do this harmony thing," and then you just kind of skip past it, you know? And I'm like, but I mean, that's at the end of the day, y'all were good. Anybody can say they think y'all are good. I mean, like, it works, right? Yeah. So I don't... Let's not just go past that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a segment that I try to do. You know the old movie? I guess it's old to them now, right? But like, Houston, we have a problem?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Everyone knows that set.
Yeah.
No one's ever been like, what? What is that? What, you know what? From?
I thought everybody knew who Kelly Kapowski was, too. And the other day, I'm just saying.
You mean from Saved by the Bell?
Thank you.
Yeah, so not... I'll... Yeah, dude.
They better not be around anymore.
I crushed it hard on Kelly back in the day.
Yeah. Everybody did. That's my point. Yeah. Anyway. So.
Struck a nerve there, didn't I?
I did.
Because
I don't assume anything. That's what I learned.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So I wanted to do something like Nashville, we have a problem. Right? Mm-hmm. Because honestly, what 90% of what we have talked about and what you do is not on stage. That's the easy fun part.
Yeah.
So but how many stories are on the road, you know, when you're touring and like that car doesn't crank when it's supposed to?
Or, oh yeah, man.
Wait a minute, there's supposed to be 4 tires? We only have 3. You know, stuff like that. And you just got to figure it out, you know, and that's really, y'all want to talk about, obviously, you guys being a duo and a relationship.
Yeah.
Hey, you better like each other.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Yeah,
I mean, a lot of it is just learning to like each other. I mean, we liked each other before, you know what I'm saying? Like, Gary's my boy. Like, he'll always be my one of my best friends. But, like, it's one of those things that you won't realize, like, until it starts happening. Like, hey, like, this is more than just, like, a buddy thing.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds lame, but, like, it is a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to learn how to work with each other or it ain't going to work.
Yeah. That's and, I mean, it's a cool thing, too, because, like, Charlie and I, when we really, like, decided to start playing together, we actually weren't like friends. Like, we just knew we were both good at what we did.
And we're just acquaintances.
Yeah, we were kind of acquaintances. So, but it kind of worked out because we went into business together instead of being, you know, best friends that grew up together our whole life. Then we didn't say, hey, you know.
Might have been the best thing. Yeah.
And so, because I mean, I had, you know, our room with my best friend in college, you know, my freshman year. And then after we lived together, our relationship wasn't the same. You know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of. It's one of those things, the beauty of it, too, because, you know, we learned how to work with each other and while the friendship was, you know, growing there. And then, I mean, you spend time with people and, you know, you start saying.
You can learn about them if you
spend. Yeah, you can be like, hey, dude, I'm not going to talk here. Or, you know, if I say this, this might irritate somebody or vice versa. So, yeah, and we're still learning. Like, and it's, you know, we spend more time together than, you know.
Well, the great thing about it, too, is, like, just learning to be, like, you know, learning to be in a relationship like this, a business relationship, it also helps you in every relationship in your life. Because I was just some stubborn dude that just wanted everything my way before. And I thought that was just how it was. I just didn't have a frame of reference.
No, that's called being male.
Yeah. But it's like, one of the biggest things I learned was like not putting yourself first.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a pretty valuable lesson in life. You know?
Absolutely.
If you're going to jump off and do this as like a duo, if there's like any duos.
Yeah, like there's
there,
two bosses now.
Yeah. And it's got to be like, you know, I got to put my life in his and he's got to put his in mine. You know, so like, you know, with every decision I make, it directly affects even if I'm not there, it directly affects Charlie or directly affects me.
Or who are some of the people that I guess in music or industry or other artists, I guess, that either you're learning from or, you know, kind of collaborating with? I mean, I saw you guys, I've watched a lot of your YouTube clips. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was a little song that came out that's been out for a while called Hurricane that kind of, it went up a little bit.
Yeah. Luke's one of our good buddies. And
right. And Luke Holmes, I mean, like,
he's doing it.
He's doing it.
He's amazing. Yeah.
We actually had our manager, you know, at the time was, you know, before he became our manager, he was Luke's business manager.
Gotcha.
And like he grew up, came up through the finance world.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of our end with Luke. And, you know, we hit it off. I actually booked Luke a show in Hattiesburg before I moved up here to connect a tour because he was losing money. I was like, hey, dude, I can. Yeah. Help you out here. Let me help you. Here's my coupon or whatever, you know, kind of deal. And
that happens, guys, like in this industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
People that are like listening, it's like, oh gosh, how much do y'all like, hey?
Hey, coupons are a thing. Like, it's like, hey, dude, you scratch my back.
Yeah. You know and I mean? So, like, you know, and then from that, like, we developed a relationship. He had it trolling out us out for a, you know, 3-day run of shows.
Yeah.
And that's where we kind of really kind of started hitting it off.
Buddies,
and we became friends. And then, like, we've never sat in a room with Luke and written with him or anything like that. Yeah. We kind of just, we're fans and we're friends and vice versa. He's fan of what we do, and you know, he's one of our biggest advocates in Nashville and that's that kind of stuff. So,
and we get to watch like him soar, so it's like it's almost like a mentoring thing, even, right. Like unintentionally. Like, yeah. we just get to watch and yeah. see what happens. You That's know what cool. I mean?
Like, we were on the road with him 2 weeks in January. Like, the like he just got the bus. And he, like, no one does this. It speaks to, like, him as a guy. But he was like, hey, if y'all just come in three-piece or whatever, y'all just ride the bus with us. You know, don't worry about traveling. Like, we were like, oh, yeah. dude, this is cool.
That's yeah. huge.
Like, yeah. They just paid us, like, a flat rate a day. And then we're just like, hey, y'all just
Because we probably, honestly, we couldn't afford to do the run if it wasn't for that. Yeah. And so he's just like, yeah, dude, y'all come do this. It just like, you know, spoke to his, like, character and that kind of stuff.
But also, you know that everybody in the audience, once they see you on stage, I mean, as far as they're concerned, you're rich.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Dude, the perception thing is everything.
That's the perception.
Yeah, dude, it is.
Nice camera, yeah, nice clothes.
You should have saw the truck I pulled up in.
That's yeah. awesome. Well, you know what's funny is we learned today when Logan was coming up that he pretended, he made up a fake booking agent named Brooke
Spalding.
Brooke Spalding, just like when he was coming up, just to make the perception
absolutely.
That
yeah.
he's got
I've heard
a booking
that happen.
Agent.
I've heard that happen before.
I have too,
he was like, once someone called me out and was like, you're Brooke, aren't you?
But yeah, still broke.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do when no one wants to book you. So
yeah,
I mean, we were cold calling, you know, venues. We were like, hey, what area of the world have we not been yet that we want to play? That's we want to go to the Midwest, play Missouri. Yeah. All right, let's cold call just venues until, you know, one will maybe say yes out of 50.
Yeah, I mean, we were booking our own shows for, I mean, when we were playing together for almost a year before we even got an attention from, like, a booking agent or anything.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so
and I love that story, man. Yeah. Y'all do click, and I got to get to these three questions.
Come on, man. Bring them on.
So we can compare y'all's answers to everybody else.
Okay.
Which there's no right or wrong answer. So, it's
so are we answering matter. Together or, like, both separately?
Listen, it's your relationship. Who am I to tell you how y'all answer your own question?
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm learning how. I obviously...
You might be able to get double the advice, you know, if we give different answers. You know?
What I never claim to be is a relationship expert. Like, that's not who I am.
Me either.
But, no.
You looked like it in the Sam
Hunt
video.
It's on your website. That's really weird.
In the Sam Hunt video, it didn't look that bad.
Yeah, let me see if it's on
the Sam
Hunt
video. It was like you were an expert, dude.
Yeah, expert.
I can play a role. Now it's back up again.
Are we going back? Are we going back?
We're not going back up. All right. So regardless if you like coffee or not, Gary, okay?
Yes,
so,
yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
All right. If juice, whatever.
juice.
If
milk.
You could, though, knowing what you know now at y'all's ripe old age, but you have come a long way. I mean, if you think about like where you are now and you were to be able to look back, you're like, hey, I know if you're anything like me, you always are looking, look how far we have to go. But looking back, you've come a long way.
Yeah.
Knowing what you know now, what would you tell your younger self when y'all first said, hey, music's it for us, like as far as a career, regardless of what it makes, it's it. What would you tell yourself?
Well, I would say this, like, I mean, I'm a firm believer of, like, everything happens for a reason, and it happened in a sequence of series of events that, you know, happened the way it was supposed to go, so we're sitting here in this room with you kind of deal. So, like, you know, I'm, you know, there's been a lot of things, but I guess if there was like some advice I'd say is like, learn to be like, things don't happen overnight. And like, I'll guess really just, you know, work harder than anybody else. Cause no one's going to give you anything, especially kind of in this thing. And like, you know, I had, you know, great parents, but you know, and my parents, unlike a lot of parents who kids have wanted to do music, kind of see it as like, oh man, I don't really know if like, you know, that's going to be a way you can, you know, start a family and stuff. And my parents were along like, hey, if you want to do it, go make it happen.
Oh,
like,
nice.
You know, go get a degree, you know, you got to do that before you move to Nashville. And so I was like, okay, I'll do that. But then if you want to do this music thing, like go out and make it happen. And so I was like, okay.
I love it.
So
good parents.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that would be for me.
Awesome. Anything from you, Charlie?
Man, I would say that, you know, not everybody's going to like you. Even fewer people are going to love you.
Ooh.
And so just do what you're good at. Do what makes you happy.
God, I'm glad you said that.
So, dude, that's great. That's deep, man. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I'm going to tell you something. I've said this before. It was told to me in a percentage. And most of what I grew up as an entrepreneur was business, not music. So, but I think it still applies. John Acuff actually said this. It's his, I think his equation is like, 20% of people are going to hate you regardless. Like Mother Teresa had haters.
Absolutely.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
Right? 40% aren't going to care.
No.
Yeah.
One way or the other. And 20% will love you. Right?
Yeah.
And it was like, when you think about that, how many people do not pursue a dream because of the 20% that hate you? When they're going to hate you anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, awesome. Luckily,
I don't mean to knock you.
Yeah.
But where's the other 20?
I apologize. Yeah. This is Auburn education. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I'm concerned, that equaled 100. All right.
Yeah. So. Spent too many weekends in Tuscaloosa on that one.
I love it.
But right, I'm not going to hear anything from Miss.
I am going to touch one more on that thing. Yeah. Like you said, is like, hey, I don't care if you know, if college isn't making you happy, then don't do it. Like, just do it, man. You know what I mean? That. Like, that's the easiest
Nike
advice. Just do it. You know?
Nike. That shoe company's really onto something. Yeah. I'm telling you.
They just
keep going.
We're not getting paid for this.
We'll send it to them and be like, you owe us.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
What about the best advice someone else has ever given you? You both don't have to answer if one of y'all have like a really good
one. If you got a better one, I'd have to stew on it for a second. You got one?
Man, I think it's almost like the same answer. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. like I said, not everybody's going to like you.
Yeah, just, I agree.
Fewer are going to love you. Just do what you want to do, man. Yeah. Do what makes you happy. That's the only thing. That's why I'm here. Like this, this is what drives me every day. True. I mean, I was working and cutting grass before and I hated it.
I had to have something. My dad always like told us this quote. It was like a Tim Duncan quote, but it was like, it was good, better, best. Never let it rest till the good gets better and the better gets best. Huh. And the whole concept of that is like, always think before you act, like what's the best decision, who it's going to affect, and you know how, like, don't just go off of raw emotion.
Yeah.
Like, be calculated in what you do, because like, and you can apply that to music, because like, we only get one chance at this.
Yeah.
And so like, everything, it can be a minute thing, but everything you do is, you know, needs to be a calculated decision. Be like, who is this directly going to affect, who's it going to benefit, and who's this going to hurt, and if it's going to hurt somebody, is it worth hurting that person?
Well, it's even bigger picture too. It's not just music, it's your life.
Yeah.
Like, you got
sure.
this long, you know, so yeah. hey, you might as well enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice to people and enjoy it.
I hear that. That's awesome. All right, well, this one you both have to answer for each other.
Okay.
All right, finish this statement. Donald, if you really knew Gary, you would know this. And Charlie, you have to answer that.
Oh, okay. You would know that he has a super messy room and he's allergic to everything.
This is true.
Not just dogs.
I got allergy shots today.
Yeah, dude. Really?
I can What's like the week. Weirdest thing you're allergic to?
Oh, dude, I got a good one. So I have this thing called cold.
I told you it's weird.
It's called cold urticaria. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
It's very rare.
You could die at any moment.
So.
Hey, did we get that waiver sign?
Yeah, dude. I drastic changes of temperature, like, make me bust out in hives.
Stop.
Yeah, dude. So, like, if I was to go outside and it's 30 degrees and I'm running.
Cut the air on.
Yeah.
And I'm running or something like that, like, and my body getting hot because I'm, you know, exerting energy. Like, wow. I've done it before. And, like, I'll bust
out.
Wait,
sorry. Have you broken out on stage before?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I've only broken out twice. It was, like, I was playing basketball in college in, like, the backyard of the fraternity house in the winter. And, wow. like, I started, and I was, like, because it never happened to me before.
Yeah.
And because I was allergic to dogs, I took, like, an antihistamine, like, allergy pill. So, you know.
All right, carry around an EpiPen with you?
Yeah, I do. Or I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
I don't have it with me right now.
Charlie, you might want to get on
Yeah,
dude. Just carry an extra one.
I'll just grab one. Keychain.
But, yeah, and it's just this weird thing. Like, and so it's happened to me twice. And now I just know, like, hey, if it's cold outside, put on a pair of gloves and don't go do any kind of exercise. Just go to the – if you want to do cardio today, just go to the gym where it's, you know,
get
the heat's on. You know.
Do some push-ups.
Note to self. So, all right, if you really knew Charlie, Gary, you would know.
I'm really nervous to hear this.
Dude, it's kind of funny. Charlie's, I'm not going to get like all like sappy, but
dude, just
you
do
can.
It.
Yeah, dude, just do it.
Listen. Just do it.
Charlie's on the outside, he's a in your face kind of personality. Like, he's going to, he doesn't want the attention, but he's going to get the attention in the room because he's funny. He's got like, you know, he's the life of the party kind of guy. He's the woo girl, you know, but, he really like, he's a really like compassionate, like it might be brute, but he's like a really compassionate, easy to get like heartstrings can get really like, you know, I don't know. It's because like
I cry on stage often.
If I say something, like I could just be in the car, dude. And I remember we were having like a heart to heart one day, and like just driving.
We were like mad at each other.
Yeah. And I said something like, you know, dude, like I'm so happy to like do this, and like I was like, man, I thought you were about to cry, and he's like, no, I am crying. it was just funny. I was like, I love you, man. You know,
I was like,
but
he says it on stage, man. He's like, oh, it's my best friend, dude. I love you. And I was, I'm like. Thanks, dude.
I know you said that last night, but it just I get it.
Sorry, dude.
But he's a big brute teddy bear. He's a big baby.
I mean, Charlie, do we need to talk about like why you're putting up a front? Like,
I'm just reptilious,
you know, like just tough on the outside, dude, but soft on the inside.
Okay,
you know?
I love it. All right, that's awesome. Oh,
my girlfriend
fun.
Appreciates that.
You know? I bet. Yeah, dude. I bet. And hey, listen, we probably need to like interview and give your girlfriends awards because it's not easy being the girlfriends of artists that are on stage and doing what y'all do. So hey, props to them.
Well, my girlfriend get too because Gary's single and she has to deal with both of us.
Oh.
She has to deal with both of us. I decided to do music for a living. That's when I got broke up with.
I started doing music for a living. A girl started to like me. Yeah. You know,
I remember it vividly. We were in West Virginia. The only time I've ever been to West Virginia.
Bad memories in West Virginia.
Yeah, dude. My girlfriend just called me. Is like, yeah.
We were climbing like a 10 mile mountain.
And we're just doing like a hike or
almost to the top.
And then she was like, yeah, I don't think this is working out. Girlfriend of 2 years. And I was like, I can tell. Yeah. I was like, yeah,
we were walking up this mountain, and it was like with the venue like manager, one of our current managers now, Gary and me. We're just walking up this thing. We're like hungover. We're walking up to the top of this mountain, and Gary like drops back. You know, we're like, what the heck is he doing? Bradley or our manager is like, what is he doing? I'm like, well, he's either breaking up with his girlfriend or she's breaking up with him.
See, Kevin, this is what happens. They're finishing each other's stories, sentences.
I see what you did there. Got it. Well, we're not that close then, Don.
Not yet, apparently.
You'll get there.
All right, thank you, guys. All right, well, this is my favorite part. That was so much fun, guys. Thank y'all for coming in.
No, sure, man.
We'd love for y'all to set up the who, how, and why of like maybe one of your favorite songs. I'm not going to tell you which one. Y'all obviously have probably some type of telekinetic connection already, so you've probably decided what you're going to play. But love to know how you wrote it, when you wrote it, with who you wrote it.
Yeah.
And then we'll take a break, set up the guitars, and love to hear you play it.
Yeah. All right, man. Word.
Yeah. What you got? Which one are we going to do?
Dude, we're going to do this one. It's off our EP. It's called Crickets and Cane Poles. And basically, it's a sad song, like a really sad song.
Well, we are emotional people.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, I mean, but that's, I feel like that's a void a lot of people like shy away from these days. And especially kids that are our age that are putting out music. And so it kind of helps with like us trying to reach a broader demographic.
We wanted to write a song that was like about a father-son relationship. Luckily, Gary and I have a great father-son relationships. But we were like, hey, let's put ourselves in the shoes of someone that doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we know that that can speak to a lot of people. And so we wrote this song, and, you know, we get to watch it personally touch people every night. So
yeah, it's pretty cool.
One of the coolest things about it.
We read with one of our favorite co-writers, his name's Ray Fulcher. And speaking of Luke, he has like 8 cuts on his upcoming record that's coming out.
Awesome.
So they really write a lot together. But yeah, we just decided we've done fishing songs, and that was an activity. Cricket, cane pole fishing was something that I'd done with my dad growing up, because that fishing, it's like going out just throwing crickets to catch brim, and there's no technique or anything. One of those like, hey, let's go spend time together moments.
Yeah.
And so I had the title, and I was just like, you know, I think this could be cool, like, but let's write it from the perspective of having a, you know, kind of not a cool dad.
Because happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, and we, you know, wanted to challenge ourselves to write this, even though it didn't necessarily apply to Charlie and I's life, but there's a lot of people that come up to us every, you know, I swear, every time we played that song, and we pick and choose what markets we played in, because if we're playing a college bar, like, you know, you'll lose them. But, like, if you're playing, like, whether it's the writer's rounds or it's, you know, opening for someone who just has, you know, a fan base who cares, or even our
fans,
fan base, you know, and because they want to hear it too. But, like, we'll have someone come to the merch table and be like, man, that,
crying.
That cricket song or whatever it is. Like, that was my
whatever song, that, the one with the crickets,
man. That's my life, man. Like, but it's kind of, it's really cool to, like, you know, really, I mean, see even that play
even
out.
The funny thing is, even women, I mean, it's a father son song, but even girls will come up and be like, wow, like, that's that's me. Yeah.
All right, quit building it up. I'm anxious now. I want to hear it. I believe you. All right, so we're going to take a break real quick. We'll tune up and then hear you play.
Cool. All right, word up.
One, two, three.
At the pond behind the double white is where my daddy raised me up. I don't think a day went by without whiskey in his cup. He had a tendency to take it out on me on the days he had it rough. But on the other ones, Lord, it wasn't much, but to me it was enough. We'd go fish. We don't talk except when our lines get crossed. But I don't care, because the only love he showed was at a fishing hole with crickets and cane poles. Now I'm standing in a church house where I've never been before. He never mustered up the courage to ever walk me through those doors. Now I'm standing in a pulpit reading my dad's eulogy. It's a shame there ain't much good to say, except the times it meant most to me when we'd go fish. We don't talk except when our lines got crossed. But I don't care, because the only love he showed was at a fishing hole, oh, with crickets and cane poles. I'm grown with a boy of my own. I'm gonna raise him the right way in a church pew on Sunday after every Saturday when we'd go fish. And we talk and we just laugh, but our lines get crossed, and I'll make damn sure he knows his daddy's love is more than just a fishing hole, the crickets and cane poles. More than just a fishing hole, the crickets and cane poles.
Man, I don't know about you, Kevin, but it's been a great day, and we've had some unbelievable talent.
Pumped. Really good.
And I'll tell you guys, I know we just met, but the reason I do this is because, honestly, I've got to experience this for 15 years, and I'm not in music. And there's part of me, to be quite honest, is pretty frustrated about it, because every time I go home, they're like, you know so-and-so is on the radio, and I'm like, Yeah, I know them, and those songs are great, but they wouldn't hear 99% of the talent and songs that I heard like this day in, day out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the whole Nashville Hits Collecting Dust was really just a way to go peek into my life and hear what I get to hear on a daily basis.
Tight. Yeah.
Right?
That's a cool idea, man.
So thanks so much for coming in and kind of sharing your story. You guys are unbelievably talented. And my non-legal counsel, super sick Kevin McCarty over here, because I have no doubt that any and all my guests are going to explode. This is a fact. You will get busy, and I realize that there's only two of you. I understand that, and there's only so many hours in the day. So, Kevin, if you could hear them say in the microphone that they will promise to come back at some point in time.
We promise to come back
at some point in time.
Well, I now grant you by the state of Tennessee, as super sick,
Kevin
McCarty.
That's right.
You are officially now
binded,
ingrained and binded.
Perfect. We would love to come back at our
beck and call. Unfortunately, like, no one said when you said it. It's when we say it. So you guys should have waited till I went.
Well, next time we'll drink with y'all and it'll be even more fun.
Done. Great. Hey, Charlie, Gary, awesome artists, but also awesome guys.
Oh, thanks,
man. Appreciate it. You guys are great too.
Really cool, and excited to watch y'all's journey because it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, we have.
So appreciate you coming in, and let's do it again, right?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Cool.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.